People of Great Britain, this is your Prime Minister. Nervous tick, wispy hair, furrowed underpants. There's been much carping by the opposition that my government is wasting too much of your money on advertising. But need I remind you that 4 years ago, we gave you five pledges. Original, lemon zest, ocean fresh, mountain pine and citrus burst. So to those of you belittling my government's record, moaning that you can't believe it's not better, I say, go and FCUK yourselves.
Dead Ringers. BBC Radio 4. I'm Brian Perkins. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, that's what you better have from me. And now, the Archers. And it seems there's a new addition to Ambridge.
Down now, Clary. It's a worrying time, that's for sure. They're introducing a new character, and they're bound to give them a ridiculous regional accent. Because that's the only way they think the listeners can differentiate between one character and another.
Well, they better not be speaking in a yokel West Country accent, Jack. Me, Eddie and Joe have cornered the market in people who sound like roadies for the Wurzels.
And I don't want them coming from Birmingham. Not after I've spent decades perfecting my stupid, wittering Brummy. Well, who knows, Ruth? They might be a Geordie like you.
Oh, no. We can't have two people saying, oh, no. That'd be way too annoying.
Well, we soon find out. Here he comes now.
Yes, hello, it's me, Brian Stewart. It truly is an honour to be here in Ambridge. A superb example of reductivist absurdism. And rest assured, everyone, no one in the world has an accent quite like mine.
You can say that again.
One would fit in perfectly, because one has been taking lessons from the greats. Me old dear, me old pal, me old beauty.
This is BBC One, and we're so short of actors left to make into gritty detectives, we've had to raid our other shows. So here's a trailer for what's coming up in Crime Doubles 2.
A vicious murder has been committed in weird and exceptional circumstances, and the police are baffled. Finally, they turn to a new squad that has been formed especially to investigate these crimes.
Hello, it's me, Carol Smiley. More teeth than an Osmond's concert, welcoming you to Changing Room Detective Squad.
Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen has been viciously murdered by someone with a grudge against him. Yes, that certainly narrows the suspects down. D.I. Smiley has the unenviable task of trying to break the news of his murder to his spouse as gently as possible.
Okay, Mrs. Llewellyn Bowen, you can open your eyes now. Now, I know this isn't quite what you expected to see in your front room, but I'm sure in time you'll get used to it.
Eventually, the suspect is arrested and begins to crack.
Admit it, you killed him, didn't you? It was you.
Yes, that's right, Carol, it was me, Linda Barker. What I did was I took this faux Victoriana knife with the jewel-encrusted handle and I thrust it into Lawrence's back, creating this unusually patterned blood-spattering effect, which I think is really, really nice. Well, good luck securing the services of a solicitor. You'll need it. Why? Because we've only given you £500 to spend finding one.
So, ladies, sincere gaze, forced smile, clenched, moist buttocks. You, I repeat, you, are New Labour's female stars of tomorrow. I've already got rid of Mo Molem, Harriet Harman and Margaret Beckett, so I'm sure getting in soap characters to make up the shortfall is the best course of action. Misogynistic grin.
Don't you worry, Prime Minister. It'll make a change from working in the Vic. And besides, I'd love to get my hands on some ministerial briefs.
Roy? Frank? The other one? No,
I ain't had much luck with men in the past, but I think with you and me, Tone, it's going to work out just fine.
Sorry I'm late, Prime Minister. I've just spent the last 16 hours trying to swallow a toffee crisp, only to then realise I didn't actually have one in my mouth.
Yes, Claire, I called you here to this meeting for female New Labour stars of tomorrow for a very good reason, serious face.
At last, Prime Minister, you've recognised my worth and are finally going to promote me to a senior ministerial position.
No, Claire. With Peggy working for me, it means they're short-handed at the Queen Vic. Don't forget to clean the pipes out, will you?
Dr. Ryan, there's a post-mortem we need you to carry out.
Oh, really? Is it an acquaintance of mine who died quite tragically? So I can stare mournfully into the distance, like I'm Mother Teresa in surgical gloves.
You could say that, Dr. Ryan. It's Amanda Burton's career.
Yes. Or just looking at the cadaver, I can see it was quite healthy at one time. And she went on Parkinson and revealed just how tedious she really is. And the fatal blow was struck when she was cast in The Whistleblower. And everyone realised she could only play one part, and the character was just Sam Ryan with different hair products.
But she's famous.
No. I'm right. I'm always right. That's why I do the little smile. The glimmering smile that shows I'm trying to hide the sorrow within.
Dr. Ryan, there's another phone call. It's urgent.
Is it, perhaps, an ex-lover about to re-enter my life in a bizarrely contrived fashion?
No, it's Amanda's agent. They say they've got you a panto gig. You're the beanstalk.
Oh, well, so long as it's planted firmly on the moral high ground.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Charlotte Green. Not perfumed, not coloured, just kind. Despite signs that the foot-and-mouth crisis is coming under control, ministers are visiting the countryside to improve communication between the government and farmers.
Right, now this informal chat is to help ministers and the farming community understand each other better. So, first, would you tell the minister about your concerns, Mr. Grundy?
Well, I don't really know if vaccination. Green horses, and I shoot the thing myself.
Minister?
Yes, I am.
Blisters all over the roof of my mouth.
Is it?
And people say ministers and farmers don't speak the same language.
This is the 10 o'clock news with me, Michael Burke. I see dead people. All the time. More on that later. But first, the government tonight is battling to contain a rash of comedy that's threatening to spread to all current affairs programmes.
This is Kate Adey reporting live as an Englishman, an Irishman and a Scotsman walk into a hostelry. The resulting scene, one of hilarity, jocularity and side-splitting comedy.
Hopes that the outbreak could be confined to the BBC were quickly dashed.
News just in. A truckload of toilet rolls has crashed on the M4. Police say they have nothing to go on. It's the way I tell them.
This outbreak of comedy, which has been described as particularly annoying, has been traced back to just one single news programme. In order to protect the privacy of the man responsible for this devastating outbreak, we asked Ronnie Corbett to do his voice.
Oh, hello. And welcome to Broadcasting House. So what's in the news this week? Well, it doesn't matter because this is Broadcasting House. So the producer said to me, Eddie, will you stop doing all these stupid jokes and sketches and get on with analysing the news? And now the Nolan sisters.
So as the comedy virus spreads like wildfire, here's some disturbing footage taken earlier today in Hyde Park, where I'm shown repeatedly slapping Peter Sissons on the head whilst chasing a bikini-clad Moira Stewart at high speed round and round a public lavatory and finally calling the Chinese ambassador a Siri Iria. Good night.
Hello?
Hello, are you the vehicle mechanic?
Yes, sort of, yeah.
Excellent. Listen, my friend. Would you be able to convert my vehicle to diesel?
What car is it you got?
It's a TARDIS. A TARDIS.
Can you spell that for me?
Yes. T-A-R.
T-A-R.
D-I-S.
D-I-S. TARDIS.
TARDIS, yes, my TARDIS.
Yeah. I don't know the make, to be honest.
It's a Type 40 TARDIS.
Type 40 TARDIS.
It is essential I turn the TARDIS to diesel.
Can you tell me why?
Because Omega is draining power from the Eye of Harmony. Omega is draining power from the Eye of Harmony.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
I've worked on TARDISes before.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, you know that...
I worked on TARDIS. No, I'm not sure I have. But,
well, you see, a TARDIS is powered from the nucleus of a black hole. And the time rotor, which is the plastic transparent sort of laundry basket that goes up and down. And in the beginning, when all TARDISes were made, Omega detonated the sun, turning it into a black hole supernova, and all TARDISes derived their power from this source.
Right.
And now, Omega is draining power from that very source.
Uh-huh.
And so I need to find an alternative source of energy, don't I?
Yes, I'm sure.
So when do you think you could start work on my TARDIS, sir?
When you bring it over.
Right, I'll bring it last week.
Coming up next on Channel 4, there's another in the series of Faking It documentaries. Last week we saw a classical musician turned into a rave DJ. What unlikely transformation will we see this week?
Some time ago, we placed the most unlikely of men into the most unlikely of jobs.
Can I just say what an honour and privilege it is to be the leader of this Conservative Party?
Yes, in late May 1996, we found William Hague, or Billy Sparkle, as he was known then, working the midnight to 4 a.m. slot, DJing at the Sunset Lounge and Bar in Oldham.
Yes, OK, that one going out to Dina and Paul. Happy engagement to you. And a little bit of Huey Lewis and the news there. And if anybody has a blue Volvo, could you please move it as you're blocking the stripper's van?
So, 4 years down the line, we're journeying to London to see if William's managed to fool anyone into thinking he's a proper politician.
Well, people see me as untrustworthy, flaky, and frankly a total waste of space, so yes, you could say I have.
Prime Minister, are you shocked?
Well, you know, not really, shrugging gesture. Because 7 years ago, I was a stripper in a lap dancing bar in Bridgend.
Welcome back to Radio 3. Quiet, isn't it? Well, I hardly need tell you that was Wagner's Ring Cycle. 13 hours and 38 minutes of soaring heavenly music. Exquisite, wasn't it? It's perfect in every way. But I'm afraid I've got something rather unfortunate to tell you all. During Act 3 of Siegfried, when Siegfried goes through the enchanted fire and finds Brunhilde, one of our listeners, and they know who they are, got up to make a cup of tea. There's always someone who has to spoil things for everyone else. Isn't there? Now look, you're not here to enjoy yourselves. This is Radio 3, where we listen intently to some very nice music, very quietly. So let's listen to it all over again. And properly this time.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Come on, Lennox, don't be so down, you know? Yeah, Lennox, you've got to keep your chin up. Pete, someone didn't tell you that on Saturday night. Oh, boy, what a nightmare. I cannot believe that. Lennox. rather than dwell on the negative. You must view this as a positive experience. On Saturday, you were like one of the great impressionists. Degas, Cezanne, such was your eagerness to hit the canvas. Yeah, yeah, look on the bright side, Lennox. At least by losing, you finally proved you really are British. Yeah, 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 guys, hey, I understand about the fight, but I'm worried about my next opponent. What is this fearsome confrontation that makes him tremble so? David Tour in New York, Oliver McCall in Las Vegas? Nah, Amanda Burton is the wicked queen in Barnstable. Now remember what I told you, Lennox. Stay behind us, sing a song with the children, and duck and weave when you steal the magic harp and the golden goose.
You still wake up in the night, don't you, Clarice? Wake up in the dark with the lamb screaming.
Yes, Dr. Lecter.
Do you think that if you saved Catherine, you could make them stop? Do you think if Catherine lives, you won't wake up in the dark ever again to the screaming of the lambs, do you?
Yes.
Well, Clarice, it might silence the lambs, but it won't get the pigs in, me old dear, me old brown, me old beautiful.
Welcome back to Today. News just in. The government claims it has completely eradicated the outbreak of comedy that had threatened to infect all of the BBC current affairs programmes.
Yes, so with the crisis over, we can all get on with our lives. Time now for Thought for the Day with Sister Lavinia Byrne. She's a little blue, but you're going to love her.
Thanks very much, Sue. Can I start by saying hello to you, John, and hello to all those lovely behind-the-scenes people. Here's a little story that happened to me at the convent this week. The mother-in-law came to stay. I could tell it was the mother-in-law because the mice were all throwing themselves at the traps. And to those people out there who've got mothers-in-law like me, don't worry, something will turn up, it usually does.
Hi there, it's Dale here. I just wondered if Scylla had been on to sort out the booking for this Thursday.
No, not that I'm aware. You're in, aren't you?
Well, I hope so.
How many was it for?
Well, it was originally going to be for two, but we wondered if we could just possibly fit another two more in.
Well, we can't do it at the moment, no.
Chris, it's going to be hard for this Thursday, but, you know, maybe for the future that could be good.
That's not good enough. Hello?
Hello?
Why are we not permitted?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm completely confused here. Who was the chap I was just speaking to?
That was Dale.
Dale, I'm sorry. We've got a chap called Dale who's booked in on Thursday. Is that Mr. Eubank?
Yes, it is.
Hello, I'm sorry, your colleague didn't make himself clear.
No, what Dale Winton?
Who?
Well, yes, I'm with Dale Winton, who just told me that...
Oh, it was Dale I was speaking to, our Dale. Oh, gosh. Okay, and what, you want to come with him?
Yes, yes. When it comes to have coffee, when it's time for coffee, could I have the brand which I advertised? Because it's strange, but if I'm seen not to have Nescafe, then there could be repercussiveness.
It's a busy old afternoon, isn't it, my darling? Hello, it's Dale here back again. I wondered, I'm on a bit of a special diet myself at this particular moment.
This has got to be a wind-up, isn't it?
How's it going, my darling?
Yeah, we're still here.
Wonderful. When I come in on Thursday, I wondered if I could not have my usual type of dish. Could you just do me a simple bowl of lawn clippings? I was always told that if I want to keep my complexion completely beautiful and orange, I've got to have lots and eat my greens, is what Scylla says. And I thought, well, you can't get more concentrated greens than a big bowl of lawn clippings.
Oh, well, we've really enjoyed our conversation today, Mr. Will and Quinton.
Thank you, my darling.
Thank you very much for calling.
I'm Fergal Keen, the grim news reaper. Doom, gloom, boom, boom, shake the room. I'm here like the dull tolling of the death knell at an especially miserable week.
This heart-rending sound is that of tiny babies. An incredible influx of infants born into a world where their sad plight will be as desperate as one can imagine. That's right. They've been born to aging celebrity fathers. In front of me, I can see the newly born babies of Michael Douglas and David Jason. Bad enough. But how much worse for this one, born this week to Phil Collins.
And this is Kate Adie, who has also witnessed that lethal combination of senility and fertility within the showbiz fraternity.
But I, Fergal Keen, the observer of outrage, the soothsayer of suffering, the marquess of misery, can say that this latest child looks exactly like his dad. But then all babies look like squashy-faced Phil Collins.
I, too, could only wince embarrassingly at the sight of Phil, aged 50, creating humanity, a case of vanity verging on insanity.
All I can show you is poverty, insolvency, destitution, indigence, penury, and my brand new thesaurus.
It's a tragedy. When the feeling's gone and you can't go on, it's tragedy.
When the morning cries and you don't know why.
It's hard to bear.
With no one beside you, you're going nowhere. This is Fergal Keen.
And me, Kate Adie.
From the BBC.
This is ITV with Trevor MacDonald. With John Thor back playing Kavanagh QC, ITV bosses have unveiled his replacement for Inspector Morse. Inspector Moore.
Yes, hello, Inspector Patrick Moore here. And I must say, if one were to observe, and look very closely indeed, one would see an irrefutable amount of evidence.
I am glad you get into the swing of things, Inspector Moore. Have you found something interesting?
Yes, very interesting indeed, Lewis. Very, very interesting indeed. For instance, did you know that the star Arcturus sends us as much heat as one single candle would do from a total distance of 8 kilometres?
No, I didn't, sir, but what about the murderer?
Yes, it's obvious. Obvious even to the naked eye. I'd say that the murderer entered through the second phase of Mars.
Right, thanks, Inspector. I think we'll handle it from here.
And just think, Lewis, who knows what there is on Mars? Could be hedgehogs. Great big space hedgehogs with telescopes instead of eyes.
Yes, okay, Inspector.
I can play the xylophone.
Very good, sir.
And I'm mental.
And I wish I'd never left our Wiedersehen pet.
Do you want to see me moon? Good night.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Kaiser Soze. The headlines again. The rematch between Lennox Lewis and Hassim Rachman could take place as early as August. Yes, let the girls have their fun. The only real date that counts in the fight calendar is next week, when Iron Mike Tyson takes on me, Brian Catweasel Perkins. It's not official, though. Oh, no. It's a no-rules, bare-knuckle smackdown in a damp concrete undercellar just below Libby Purvis. So it's on. Brian Perkins Fight Club. The first rule of Brian Perkins Fight Club is you don't talk about Brian Perkins Fight Club. The second rule of Brian Perkins Fight Club is that you don't talk about Brian Perkins Fight Club. The third rule of Brian Perkins Fight Club is don't speak with your mouth full. Something I'm always having to remind Sister Lavinia Bernhoff.
Mr. President, can I be the first to congratulate you?
Hell, it was nothing. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow I'll get my other shoelace tied up as well.
No, no, Mr. President. I meant congratulations on your first 100 days in office.
Is it really 100 days? I can't believe that 5 whole years can pass by so quickly. And so many highlights. The Rugrats in Paris movie premiere. Mr. Snubbuglepagus moving in with Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street.
Yes, sir. Oh, and I've received a telegram from Tony Blair for you.
That's very sweet. You see, that sums up the nature of the special relationship between our three countries. A bond forged because Jerry Blair and I speak the same language. Because the manner in which I and the prime number of Arabia expressify ourselves reveals a shared communality in the way we communify ourselves by our verbalocity, an oralization that's understandarized by 90% of the globalization world.
Hey, and there's a gift. It's got a label attached.
Let me look here. Please enjoy this life-sized short cake. Love, Tony.
Happy 100th day in office, Mr. President. Happy
100th day in office to you. This is so demeaning. Happy 100th day in office, Mr. President. Happy 100th day in office to you.
And the card says you can keep her.
You must remember this.
Of all the gin joints in the world, Sam, why did she have to walk into mine?
I don't know, boss.
Play for me, Sam.
Play what, boss?
You know, you played it for her, so you can play it for me. Me old pal, me old dear, me old beauty.
If you say so, boss. But that won't get the pigs in.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who is that?
Hello? Just a moment, just a moment. That shouldn't have happened. Listen, are you known on Earth as the actor Tom Baker?
Yes. Well, yes, some people know me as that. Yes. Who is that?
Yes, oh, Tom, I am the doctor. Yes.
But that's odd.
Yes.
No, there must be a mistake. I'm the doctor.
No, but I am also the doctor.
So you mean, I mean, I'm talking to myself?
Well, yes. Yes, we too.
Oh, God.
We two are the doctor, but more than that, we seem to be in a situation of third regeneration exact parallel opposition. It's extremely rare.
You're sure you're on Davros? A fellow called Davros calls me up and keeps asking me if I'm dead.
Yes, we defeated Davros, didn't we?
We did. Well, I did. Yeah, you did. You did. You did. You did.
Yeah. You stand together and the Daleks are finished. It was glorious,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes. I never knew what to do about the Daleks, really, you know, because I always rather fancied Davros, you know. Yes, I did. Yeah, it was that.
Anyway, I'm here in Gallifrey 900 years ago, and I'm in a situation of extreme peril. I need your help, Doctor.
Oh, really? What can I do?
Well, you see,
Is it money you need? Because, I mean, I'm not short of a shilling.
No.
What's the problem?
Well, you see, I've been put on trial by the High Council of the Time Lords for committing a terrible crime.
Oh, God.
I allowed K-9 to foul the pavement.
God, somebody slipped on the ball bearings.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Colshaw, Dave Cohen. The title music was by John Whitehall. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stiliandis.